All right, so who are you all?
I'm Teresa Delosa, and I'm a recruiter, and I'm in the entertainment and devices group.
Okay.
And I'm Tarika. I'm a recent hire as a program manager in the Windows Service.
Cool. So one of the things we're talking about is recruiting, and this is what happens when a potential candidate first hears from a recruiter. So walk us through when is that candidate going to hear from the recruiter? What are the next steps when they get that email from the recruiter?
So basically, you've applied for a position, and you're going to be hearing from a recruiter. You may not hear from a recruiter that's actually the same one behind the position you've applied for, because all of us as recruiters are able to access your information once you apply to any position.
So what that means is somebody puts in their resume at our jobs external website, and somebody else, another recruiter, may contact you even if there's a skill set match. Is that the...
Exactly.
Okay.
So you want to be able to articulate kind of what your interests are. Is in terms of the type of position that you're interested in, and maybe talk to any experience you've had talking to other recruiters with Microsoft. A lot of times you'll be contacted by multiple people, and
okay.
So you want to make sure that the recruiter knows that.
Okay. And what are some of the other, like, I guess, tips and tricks for people that are recruiting, things to know, like maybe things you need to tell your recruiter?
I think that one of the things that was most important for me was hearing from candidates whether or not they're open to relocating, because if you're not open to coming to the Redmond area, which is where a majority of our positions are, then we should obviously know that up front.
Okay.
And as far as the position that we're calling you on, if you're interested in multiple positions or, again, in contact with multiple people, you should make sure that you're talking through that with any recruiter that you're in contact with, so that everybody knows kind of what's going on and can streamline the process.
Okay.
What do you think was helpful for you?
Yeah, I think to a great extent, I think, about the relocation and just generally about the position itself. I thought one of the things that personally helped me was the recruiter is like the starting point for your meeting, the interviewer or anybody else further down the line. So you really want to have and build that relationship with the recruiter. Let them know exactly what you're looking for, so
okay.
They can then in turn help you with the process further down the line. They might even put you in touch with other people who might be interested with the skill set that you have. So I think it's really, really important to have that honest relationship with your recruiter. Treat them as your friend and, take it from them.
So that's a good point, and sometimes I see this where somebody wants to become a Microsoft employee, and they will even, not that they're lying, but they're maybe stretching how honestly they would want to work with a specific team. Like, yes, of course I will be enter the janitorial services group to be a Microsoft employee, when really they're passionate about, say, developer tools or Windows or Office.
Absolutely.
And so what's sort of the advice that you say, like, important, and what's the right way to say if a recruiter asks you for a job that you're not interested?
If you're not interested, then you need to let them know that you're not interested and let them know what you would be interested in. As Tharika said, with your relationship, you want to make sure that that's a good relationship and that you are being open and honest, like with any relationship, and expressing exactly the truth behind what you're looking for. Meaning, if there's something else out there, you might say, I applied to, and give the recruiter the job number of the other position you applied to, and they may be able to forward your resume on to the other recruiter.
Okay.
And so you'd still be considered for that position.
Okay. And any things that you wish you had known in the beginning of the process for going through, or?
I think to a great extent, it's pretty well laid out, so... I mean, typically you shouldn't have any issues at all. It's quite straightforward. They give you enough information in there. Definitely read through the emails carefully, because there is a lot of information in there. And if you just follow through that, I think you shouldn't really have any issues. And again, going back to the same point that Teresa brought up, if you do have any concerns at all about relocation or just about anything in that entire process, the sooner you bring it up, the better it is for everyone. So you don't want to wait till you get to the interview loop and then come back and say, hey, I forgot to mention this. So that's probably the only thing I'd bring up. Let people know in advance what your situation is, what your concerns are.
Okay. And so what's kind of the stuff that a recruiter is going to send you? Is it paperwork? Is it an interview schedule? Is it a phone screening information? Walk me through it.
Yeah, so something that's more popular now than not is what we call an e-screen, and that's just an online document that and a lot of times takes the place of the initial sort of phone screen. So the basic questions about, are you open to relocation? What are your salary requirements? You know, what are you currently working on? You know, what are you looking to work on?
Mm-hmm.
Why are you looking for a position? So just kind of the basic information. And, you know, you want to make sure, again, that you're being realistic and upfront with your expectations, both from a position standpoint and from salary. Because a lot of times I've seen candidates say one thing in the beginning, and then it kind of changes throughout the process. And you just want to make sure that you're staying consistent. And doing your research, too. So if you are a candidate that's going to relocate, you want to take a look at the salary calculators and take a look at kind of what the expectation you should have is for this area.
Okay. Well, that's certainly good to know. And what about college hires versus experienced hires? Are there differences or things that you maybe they'll have to do either more steps or less steps for experience versus folks just out of school?
Absolutely. So we actually have different groups that handle college versus handle what we call industry.
Okay.
And I'm an industry recruiter. So typically that's it has to be somebody 1 year or more out of school. So we actually have college recruiters that go directly out to targeted schools. And if you're applying as a college graduate, then you should definitely note that when you're going through the application process so that you can be targeted as a college candidate rather than an industry candidate.
Okay. And so for some of the people, especially as you're talking for industry hires, what are some of the questions that you get from folks? And me, obviously, we know jobs because there's an internal tool where we can see sort of the job level. So we can see is that something that we communicate outwards for our customers? Or how do you know, like, whether you're at the right level for a job, whether it's...
So, great question. So... a lot of times people want to know what are the salary bands for a position, and that's not something that we're at liberty to be able to share.
Okay.
So what happens is we've all worked with that one person or two people that have had 5 years of experience. One person seems very senior and the other person seems very junior.
Mm-hmm.
So what we do to kind of equal everyone out is to be able to look not only at their resume but also their day of interviews. So your day of interviews really does count when it comes to kind of determining the level that you'll come in at.
Okay.
And for Microsoft, it's not just about the base salary. We do total compensation philosophy. So it's everything is included, meaning base salary, bonus, and insurance, and all of the other benefits that we offer.
Yeah, and some of the other things, I mean, obviously, you mentioned some of the salary things. It could even change by geography, right? So, like,
yes.
I think folks in the UK and Europe get, like, a car stipend or something interesting, which is pretty cool, and obviously depends on your geo and your specific job. But
It's different in different areas. I would say for the U.S., primarily the difference is around specific areas in California, and I believe New York or Massachusetts on the East Coast, but not something that would be specific to Seattle or Redmond.
I think probably just to add to that, I mean, just from my opinion, I think when you're coming into, like, talk to the recruiter or doing the interview, I would suggest focus less on the salary and those kind of discussions. Really try to make sure you're getting into the role that you want to do, the job you want to do. So there might be something that doesn't pay quite as much, but that's something you love. Chances are you're going to grow faster in that role versus you're just going to take up a position because it pays so well, and then you're like miserable for the rest of your life. So you don't want to do that. I think
great point.
It's definitely something to keep in mind. Don't be too focused on the salary and compensation when you're interviewing. So that's just my 2 cents on it.
Yeah.
That's true.
Other questions that you always get asked from candidates or that you're always sort of top of mind that you can think of?
So a couple things. I think, first of all, the overall process and what to expect.
Okay.
So from the point of applying for a position, you'll then hear from a recruiter. And then, like I said, we'll go through the e-screen or phone screen with you. And then we would go on to a technical phone screen would be the next step. And obviously each step comes after, you know, if things are going well and both of you are deciding to pursue. And then after a technical phone screen is typically when the face-to-face interview would take place, and that's what we call a loop. That's kind of our internal jargon for an interview.
Right.
So basically from there, you have approximately 10 days that we give ourselves to get back to you with feedback as to the hire or no hire decision and what next steps will be.
Okay. And you mentioned, so this is one of the things, even I remember from my first contact with a recruiter, is sometimes you may not hear in each of the steps, like, for people to have patience, like, what's the normal time, because you submit your resume, And then, you know, a day goes by and you're like, these people hate me, you know, I'm never going to hear from them again. What can you really expect? Because I'm sure, you know, there's thousands and thousands of candidates, and a recruiter's job is to do all of them. What's sort of a realistic expectation or a normal expectation for regular communication? And is it okay for people to send you the, hey, just checking in emails?
Absolutely. I appreciate getting the, hey, just checking in emails. As long as, you know, it's within reason and you're kind of giving us that time to follow up with you, it's nice sometimes to get that little bit of reminder because we do have a lot of other positions and a lot of other candidates that we're working with.
Mm-hmm.
And so I know that Darka, as my candidate coming in, she was great about following up via phone and via email, just to kind of check in and see where we were in the process. So I think that's totally realistic. And actually something else to go back to that I didn't mention is, as a candidate, making sure that you're asking a lot of questions and being open and honest about if you just don't know the answer to a question we're asking you.
Right.
A lot of times I think that people tend to try to kind of sugarcoat or try to breeze over things that they don't know. And if you're just saying, I don't know, it's a much better answer than trying to pretend like you do.
Yeah, they're trying to give you the answer that you want to hear.
Exactly.
So, yes, I'll work in the Himalayas for $0. Yeah, sure, whatever.
Right, you have to be honest and tell your truth.
Yeah, sounds great. Cool. Anything else? Or
I think that's it for me.
About it, yeah. I mean, again, the recruiter is really your friend, like I was telling you. I mean, they have a lot of insight about the group and about the roles that you're applying for. So definitely have a good conversation with them and know full well that what you're getting into is really what you want.
Yeah, so that's a good point. The recruiter can be the person to sort of give you what the aspect, and I think this is one of the challenges is people outside Microsoft. There's several different cultures. Like entertainment and devices, I think, is a different culture than, say, maybe some different teams. So getting, would you recommend getting the scoop from the recruiter on sort of what the culture is, what the group is, who the hiring manager is, all
those
details?
And I think that they are the face of the group before even you get to the interview people. So you can definitely ask all the questions that you want. So when you get to the interview, you're probably a little more restrained. You're more nervous to talk, and definitely have the chat with the recruiter much in advance. So you can be sure you'll gel with the group.
And the recruiter's there to help you. So you can ask the honest questions.
Absolutely.
So. Excellent.
Great.
All right, well, thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you.